Okay, thanks. I'd like to thank the organizers. Not sure they're here, but in their absence, I'd like to thank them for inviting me for this workshop, and to you for staying to the last day. So this work that I'll be talking about has been in progress for a long time with Netanel, who's here, and with Adi Stern from the Weizmann Institute. And I'll mention, as I go, some related work with these people. And just before I start, I'd like to have a short advertisement for the students and postdocs especially. As Lucas mentioned, there's a winter school in Jerusalem at the end of this year, beginning of next year. And right, so we gathered a list of great speakers and me. And just note that the deadline for the application is coming up soon. So yeah, please register if you're interested. So just to set some background for my talk, this is probably familiar to most of you, but we're living in an excited era. Majorana zero modes in condensed matter physics are becoming a reality. So these beautiful experiments in nanowires coupled to superconductors with a magnetic field. So starting from the Delft group and some follow-up from Weizmann and from Copenhagen. And there are also some beautiful experiments in ferromagnetic chains deposited on superconductors. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done, especially to detect directly the nanobillion properties of these zero modes. But there's less and less doubt that we are looking at the right thing. So these Majorana zero modes are real. They're there. And for the purpose of my talk, I'll review briefly some properties of these Majorana zero modes. So we have a superconductor and a quantum wire on top of it. And if you tune the right parameters, magnetic field, and you have spin orbit coupling, you can tune the system into the topological phase, superconducting phase. And it's characterized by having two zero modes at its ends and some familiar properties of this phase. Okay, so the bulk is gapped, but there are too many muddy ground states, which are exactly degenerate, in fact, topologically degenerate, which are characterized by their different fermion parity. Defects in the system, in this case, a defect would be just the end of the wire, carries a protected zero mode. And the thing that makes the system interesting is that the ground state degeneracy is topological in the sense that there's no local measurement anywhere in this wire that can actually detect in which one of these two ground states you are in. Okay, so the whole point is that this is a non-local property which is kind of shared between the zero modes. It's the fermion parity of the system. You really have to measure the entire system to know in which of the two ground states you're in. And if the ends are far enough, the wire is long enough, then there's no local measurement that can detect that. And the point is that if it's hard for you to measure, it's also hard for the environment. So the system is very protected against decoherence. Okay, so this makes it exciting as a potential qubit. So this talk is going to be about, we'd like to know what's next. Basically, we'd like to be able to realize a topological zero modes with some richer properties. And the question is, where should we look? Okay, so we want to sort of follow the same route. We take some simple components, like the superconductor and the quantum wire, and try to combine them in the right way to realize some new type of zero mode, which has a interesting topological properties. And it turns out that one-dimensional systems like this quantum wire are actually not the right place to look. Okay, so if you take a gapped local Hamiltonian of either fermions or bosons in 1D, and you can add arbitrary local interactions, it turns out that can at best give you Majorana zero modes with the same sort of topological degeneracy and the same nanobillion properties as Majorana zero modes. So you really have to look at some richer system to do this. You have to go beyond 1D. Okay, and this is what this talk is going to be about. So I'll review briefly the work on going beyond Majorana fermions, so fractionalized Majorana zero modes or parafermions that can be constructed on edges of fractional quantum Hall states. These are fractional analogs of the 1D topological superconductor that we discussed. We'll discuss some other variants, twist defects. And then I'll talk about what happens if you introduce these defects in a phase which is by itself non-abelian, and how these defects enrich the properties of the host phase. Okay, so I'll discuss basically an example, which I'll work out, how to describe these zero modes, how to braid them, how to describe their braiding, and I'll talk briefly about some recent work about chains of interacting defects in non-abelian phase. Okay, so that's the plan. The one way to go beyond Majorana zero modes is to consider an effectively 1D system, which is the edge of a 2D topologically ordered state. Okay, so think about a fractional quantum Hall state. So it's a 2D system with a topological order. It has fractional charges and fractional statistics, but the edge is a chiral chiral Lagrangian liquid, basically a chiral 1D system. So you can sort of follow the same route as in the Majoranas. You think about, for instance, this type of system. So this is a bilayer of a fractional quantum Hall state, say Laughlin states. And suppose that you can engineer the system such that they have an opposite chirality. For instance, in this system the carriers are electrons, and in this system the carriers are holes, such that even though they see the same magnetic field, the chirality of the state is actually opposite. Okay, so what will happen is that at the edge, you'll get these two counterpropagating edge states. And so in terms of the low energy degrees of freedom on the edge, it looks like a 1D wire. You have a right mover and a left mover. But these edge states sort of know that their origin is really from the boundary of some 2D topological topologically ordered phase. And now you can play the same game as in the non-fractionalized case. This would be the Fouquet sort of 1D superconductor. So you can proximity couple this system to a superconductor, so allowing Cooper pairs to tunnel in and out. And in another region of the boundary, you can electrons backscatter from one edge to the other. These are two possible mechanisms to gap out the edge states. And it turns out that they're topologically distinct. So at the boundary between these two regions on the edge, you expect some new type of zero mode to appear. Okay, and this is another version of the same setup in a different geometry, but it essentially does the same. Now the two fractional quantum Hall states are not on top of each other, but side by side, and they have the same chirality. But the crucial ingredient is that at this trench between them, you have two counterpropagating edge states. Okay, so once again, you have a 1D system with one right mover and one left mover, and then you do just the same thing. You couple it to a superconductor in one region strongly enough such that it gaps out the edge, and you let electrons backscatter in a different region. Okay, and in both of these geometries, at the boundary between the two different gapped regions, you'll get some new type of zero mode, which is a fractionalized version of the Majorana zero mode. It's sometimes referred to as a parafermion. Okay, and these things have a topological degeneracy associated with them, and they have also some non-abelian statistics which is associated with them, which is different from that of Majorana zero modes. Okay, so let me describe them a little bit in more detail. So this is my edge. Okay, so you can see the colors are not very visible, but this side, say, is my bilayer. Okay, and this side is vacuum. So, and this is my edge. The red parts are the parts that of the edge that are gapped out by proximity to a superconductor, and the gray parts are coupled by electron backscattering between the two edge states. Okay, and at the boundaries between these two regions, there is a zero mode that appears. The meaning of this zero mode is basically that at these points, the system can absorb a Laughlin quasiparticle from the bulk at zero energy. Okay, so a Laughlin quasiparticle in the bulk costs is gapped, costs some finite energy, But just like the fact that in a Majorana zero mode, you can tunnel in an electron at zero energy, whereas away from the zero mode, the system is gapped, here you can actually tunnel in, if you like, from somewhere in the bulk, you can tunnel in a Laughlin quasi-particle, fractional quasi-particle, and that would be a gapless at the zero modes. From the vacuum, if these zero modes are not very far apart, okay, they have a wave function which is exponentially decaying. If they're not very far apart, electrons can tunnel through the vacuum between them, and it's also a zero mode for electrons. In particular, it carries a Majorana zero mode. But the special thing is that you can also have Laughlin quasi-particles that tunnel through the bulk between them if they're close enough. Okay, and this tunneling would be exponentially suppressed if they're far apart, but it becomes a substantial when these things are close together. Okay, what happens here is that there's if the zero modes are far away, there's a low energy manifold, so the ground state is multiply degenerate. Per pair of these zero modes, there are 2m states where 1 over m is the fraction of the Laughlin state. Okay, so basically 2m states per superconducting domain. The way to understand these 2m states is kind of simple. Think about the charge, which is trapped in this superconducting region on the edge. That's like a superconducting island. So because of the fact that you can tunnel in and out Laughlin quasi-particles into other domains at zero energy, many degenerate states, many degenerate ground states. Okay, but because of the fact that this is coupled to a superconductor, charge is only well-defined mod 2. Okay, so therefore, after you tunnel 2m of these quasi-particles, you go back to the same state. Okay, so 2m states per superconducting domain. Okay, and if these zero modes are not too far apart, there are physical operators that can act. So the low energy effective Hamiltonian would be composed of tunneling of quasi-particles between these zero modes. These are operators that would lift this ground state degeneracy. This lifting would be exponentially small if they're far apart. Okay, so I'll denote these kind of operators by Wij. That describes the tunneling of a Laughlin quasi-particle between zero modes I and j. Okay, and these kind of operators have a representation in the low energy Hilbert space. And it turns out that their properties are kind of inherited from the fractional statistics of the bulk. Okay, so they know about the topological order of the bulk through their exchange rule. Okay, so if you take two of these operators, say Wij and Wjk, of two sections that share a site, then these two operators would satisfy the following exchange relation. Okay, if you exchange them, these are just some, they have some explicit representation in the Hilbert space, and their algebra is defined by this relation, which I'm sometimes referred to as a parafermion relation. Okay, if you exchange them, you get a phase of e to the I pi over m. And you can sort of understand that this phase comes from the fact that this is equivalent to exchanging two quasi-particles in the bulk. Okay, and in fact, a similar relation would hold also if they don't share a site. It's enough for the paths of the quasi-particles to intersect. Then they would not commute, and they would satisfy this relation. If the paths don't intersect, then they commute. Okay, so basically this the Hilbert space is some representation. I mean, these operators form some representation of this algebra. This by itself, by the way, tells you that the ground state has to be at least 2m degenerate, 2m-fold degenerate per superconducting domain. Okay. Having written down the physical operators that act on this low-energy Hilbert space, one can do with it interesting things. For instance, there's a topological degeneracy. I want to know if these things are actually non-abelian. How do I define braiding here? Okay, so at first sight, it looks kind of weird to talk about braiding because these things are not intrinsic quasi-particles. They're not point-like particles. I can't sort of move them freely around in the plane because they're kind of bound to the edge. So one way to define braiding is the following. Okay, so you can do braiding without actually moving anything. You can define the braiding in parameter space or in Hamiltonian space. So suppose I have the following system. I have one droplet of my fractional quantum Hall bilayer. And there's an array of superconducting domains and backscattering domains. Now, I have these two defects here, 3 and 4, which are far apart. They're not coupled. So there are two M states associated with this domain. And I want to braid them. Okay, I want to do a topologically a protected operation that would braid them. That would be described as some unitary matrix acting on this Hilbert space. Okay, so one way I can do that is the following. So I have two auxiliary defects, 1 and 2, which are initially strongly coupled. Okay, so suppose I can control the low-energy Hamiltonian somehow. I can control, say, the barrier for tunneling of quasi-particles between these two domains. So what I have is an effective Hamiltonian, which is of this form. Okay, it's just these W operators that I discussed before times some time-dependent parameters. And I'm going to change these parameters adiabatically as a function of time in a closed loop in parameter space. And the adiabatic evolution of that closed loop would actually describe braiding in parameter space. Okay, so it turns out that there's a specific protocol that allows me to do that. The key of this kind of path in parameter space is that for any value of these parameters lambda, I have to make sure that the ground state manifold retains its ground state degeneracy. Okay, the ground state degeneracy is actually not lifted at any time during this process. This is what guarantees that the operation is actually topological. It doesn't depend on the exact path in parameter space. Okay, so this is the protocol. Okay, it turns out that you have to do the following. You turn on a coupling between these domain walls 2 and 3, and then turn off the coupling between 1 and 2, and then turn on 2 and 4. Turn off 2 and 3, and then finally turn back on 1 and 2, and turn off 2 and 4. Okay, so when you do that, you can sort of imagine that what happens is that I've tried to describe the path that the zero modes take, the zero mode operators take under this evolution. Okay, but it's some closed path in a parameter space, and it turns out that it has the desired properties. The ground state degeneracy never changes during this path. The Hamiltonian at the end goes back to itself, but the state of the system doesn't necessarily go back to itself. Okay, it undergoes some a unitary transformation that doesn't depend on the details of this path. It depends only on the topology of this path. This path actually is non-contractible. There's some point in the middle where there's a higher degeneracy, and that's why there's a Berry phase that you get. This Berry phase depends on the charge of the superconducting domain, which is between. Okay, so this is some generalization of the braiding rule of Majorana zero mode. Okay, so this is you would get Majoranas if you put here m equals 1. So that corresponds to a quantum spin hole state, non-fractionalized. Okay, so you see that what we've done here is we've taken a topologically ordered abelian state, introduced some defects at the edge, okay, gapped out the edge in distinct ways, introduced defects which are boundaries between these different domains, and these defects have a topological degeneracy associated with them, and they have non-abelian statistics. So at the end, what we've done is enriched the properties of the bulk, which is a topological but abelian, by introducing these defects, okay, which are non-abelian. Okay, so here's another nice example of how you can get a similar physics, but without using superconductors. So this can be practically useful because it's hard to combine superconductivity in a fractional quantum Hall. One requires a high magnetic field, and the other doesn't like magnetic field. Okay, so think again about a bilayer, but now it's a bilayer of 1/3 and 1/3 instead of 1/3 and minus 1/3. So both of these layers have the same chirality rather than a opposite. Now cut a trench through the system. So each layer will now have counterpropagating edge states, so top and bottom. And if I think about the low energy degrees of freedom of this trench, there are two right movers and two left movers. Okay, so two right movers, say from this side, and two left movers from the other side. So once again, I have an effectively one-dimensional system, and there are two distinct ways that I can imagine gapping out this this 1D system. Okay, so I can let electrons backscatter between top and top and bottom to bottom, or between the right mover of the top and the left mover of the bottom, and vice versa. Okay, so that would create sort of a crossed tunneling. Okay, these turn out to be two topologically distinct ways to gap out the edge. So once again, I expect some new form of zero mode to appear at the boundary between them, and this type of zero mode turns out to be nothing but the parafermion zero mode that they had described before. It's a little bit different because I don't get the Majorana part. So before I could also tunnel in electrons at zero energy at the boundary. And here I can't. Okay, so here I can only, this can only absorb actually a Laughlin quasiparticles, not electrons. Okay, in fact, it's a pair of a quasiparticle and a quasi-hole from the two layers. Okay, so this is a way to get a topological zero modes without superconductors at all. And once again, if you imagine an array of these defects, it would have a ground state degeneracy. This ground state degeneracy is kind of there's a nice way to understand it. Okay, so this was called by these people, it was called a twist defect or a genon, okay, because it changes the genus effectively of the surface. There's a neat way to understand that, described also in these papers. Okay, you can rotate the lower layer, just twist it around, and that untwists the this cross tunneling. Okay, after doing that, this domain where top couples to top and bottom to bottom still looks the same, but this domain would untwist, so it would look like this. Okay, so you can imagine that what you've created here is actually a hole through the system. Effectively, you've changed the genus of the surface. Okay, so now it's a bilayer of plus and minus, opposite chiralities, and this kind of hole is equivalent to putting this system on a high genus surface. Okay, so this would have a ground state degeneracy of m states per hole. Okay, just like we learned from Wen's book. Right. So once again, we'll have these topological zero modes. The reason I'm kind of insisting not to draw this from the beginning, it turns out, but to start from this twisted version, is that for braiding you actually have to use this one. Okay, the zero mode that you'll have to use for tunneling for braiding is a pair of a quasi-particle and quasi-hole from one side in this geometry. It doesn't work in the other geometry for reasons that I can explain if somebody's interested. Okay, but for the purpose of just the ground state degeneracy, this is good enough. We can think about this geometry just as well. Okay, what I'd like to do now. So these defects are fascinating. We hope that they would be realized someday. Okay, but it turns out that for instance, for the purpose of a topological quantum computation, they're actually not good enough. They're not universal, and we'd like to find a system that allows for universal topological quantum gates. So search goes on. So we saw that if we introduce these defects in an abelian system, that we can get these non-abelian zero modes. The question is, what happens if we introduce similar defects in a system which is, to begin with, non-abelian? So we'll get a new type of zero mode that enriches the properties of the host system. Okay, and that might be a route for universal quantum computation. So I'll discuss similar twist defects. But in a system which is to begin with non-abelian, and I'll do that in the way that I know. I'll consider an example. Okay, so the simplest example of that would be basically a system of Ising anions, similar to what Fiona described. Okay, so I have a bilayer again, but now it's a bilayer of a system that hosts Ising anions. So it's probably the cleanest example you can consider is basically a bilayer of Kitaev's hexagonal spin model. Okay, in the gapped topological phase. This system hosts three types of quasiparticles: the vacuum, the fermion, and the sigma, or the vortex. You can always sort of secretly imagine that this is a PX plus IPY superconductor, even though it's not quite, and then the sigma is really the vortex, the psi is the Bogoliubov quasiparticle. Okay, and these satisfy these fusion rules. And if you exchange them, they have these statistical phases. Okay, two sigmas are non-abelian. They're Majoranas, essentially. They could fuse into one or psi. And you get these phases when you exchange them that depend on the fusion, on whether the two sigmas fuse into a fermion or into vacuum. Okay, so the system that we'd like to consider is, again, these kind of twist defects or genons, okay, but in this Ising bilayer phase. And now we'd like to know what's similar to before, what's the ground state degeneracy, what are the physical operators that act in the system, and how to represent them in this ground state manifold. 5 minutes. Ooh. What's their braiding rule? Okay, So this is our system. It's an array of these twist defects, and again, because it's easier, I'll draw everything in the untwisted version, even though we should always imagine that this is really twisted. So this region looks like a hole. Right. This region looks like this, but this region is actually this funny cross geometry. Okay, so what we have is this array of zero modes. Each one is like the hole in the torus, so I can have a Z2 flux or vortex either sitting on each one of these holes or not. Okay, so that's a description of the low energy states. Turns out you can characterize the low energy Hilbert space by these F degrees of freedom, which are Z2. They're either plus one or minus one or zero and one. It's the convention I'll use here. Okay, and if you want to measure whether there's a flux or not in one of these holes, the physical operator that would do that is simply taking a fermion around that hole. So that would get a minus one if there's a flux there, and plus one if there isn't. Okay, and similarly here. Okay, so these are my degrees of freedom, and indeed, the ground state degeneracy scales like 2 to the power of holes, okay, or 2 to the power of the number of defects. Now, it's not quite 2 to that power for a reason that I'll describe briefly, but it scales like that in the limit of the large number of holes. I'll also use this kind of spin notation. There's a sigma z, which is plus or minus 1. Plus 1 represents a flux, and minus 1 is no flux. Okay, it turns out that not all the possible configurations of these fluxes are actually ground states. And the reason for that is the following. Okay, my W operators, which are tunneling of quasi-particles between defects, are gonna be these physical operators. Okay, so if I bring two of these defects close together, a sigma particle can tunnel sort of around this handle of the torus. Okay, so I can create from the vacuum a pair of sigmas fusing to the vacuum, okay, and then I can take them around this handle and try to fuse them back. Okay, but you see that because of the properties of Ising anions, I cannot always fuse them back here. So now what this operator does, by the way, is it flips the flux variables of these two holes, because it's like tunneling a vortex line from here to here, essentially. Okay, but I cannot always do this. In particular, if there's a flux in this handle, then you probably know that the braiding rules of sigma particles are such that if I create two pairs, wind one of them around the other, and try to annihilate them back, I change the fusion channel. So now both of them would fuse to a psi particle, and that's an excitation. So I left the ground state manifold by doing that. Okay, so if I try to do this kind of sequence of operations, I first populate this hole by a vortex line, by tunneling a vortex line, say, from here, or creating a pair of vortex lines here, and then I try to do the operation that braids these two around. Okay, that's dying out, and my time is up. Another laser somewhere. So if I do this W34 operation, there's a stick. Right. Thanks. So if I first do this W23, populating a flux here, and then try to do W34, I would actually get an excitation, so I go out of the ground state degeneracy. Now I want to project everything to the ground state. So that means that the projected operators through the ground state manifold would actually satisfy this. If I try to define an exchange relation of W34 and W23, I actually can't do that. These operators projected to the ground state manifold are not unitary operators. Okay, they're Hermitian, but they're not unitary. They contain these projectors. Okay, if I try to do Wi and Wi plus 1, that would give me 0 if the flux trapped between these two defects is minus 1. Okay, it's if there's a flux in that hole. So this is one physical operator that I can write, and it has this representation in the ground state manifold. Okay, at least you can choose the gauge such that it has that form. But this doesn't tell me anything about the statistical phase that I get when I exchange. So there are no phases here. This is completely real. So I've kind of lost information about the statistics of the bulk. Turns out that to get that information back, I have to consider next nearest neighbors. So so we found a way to compute these operators in the ground state manifold explicitly. And it turns out that, in a convenient gauge, you can define them as following. So the nearest neighbors look as before. Okay, the nearest neighbor tunneling operators look like this. And further neighbors, you can construct all further neighbors from the nearest neighbors using this this kind of iterative rule. So if you try to combine two operators, WMK and WKN, in this way, okay, all of these operators are defined to be Hermitian, then they are related to a WMN that you get from the union of the two regions with this phase pi over 8. Okay, and this phase pi over 8 comes from the topological spin of the sigma particle of the bulk. Okay, so this actually knows about the statistics of the bulk. Okay, so this is how you write physical operators that act on the low energy Hilbert space. And that way you can also write a Hamiltonian of a chain of these defects. Once you know that, you can actually braid these defects. Okay, you can define a braiding operation in a similar way as before. You want to braid 3 and 4, so you introduce some auxiliary defects 1 and 2. One can actually do this computation explicitly, and this is the result. Okay, so right. I'll take a couple minutes. The braiding matrix, which is a unitary matrix of 3 and 4, actually depends on the neighboring fluxes in this way, and it was kind of satisfying to see that it satisfies the property that predicted by Meisam and by Xiaoliang. The braiding phase that you get from braiding these two defects is actually directly related to the topological spin of the fusion channel of these two defects. Okay, so this just tells you if these two fuse to sigma, you get pi over 4. Okay, and if these two, it turns out that this is just describe the fusion into a psi or 1, then you either get plus or minus 1, respectively. Okay, so this was, as far as I understand, guessed by Meisam, and it does work. More than guess, right? If you like, what this is equivalent to doing a dent twist on the torus. So this is kind of a dynamical way using zero modes to implement this this dent twist. And I'll just take 1 minute and describe some more recent directions we've been thinking about. So imagine the following system. So we have these zero modes. Suppose we have a long chain of these zero modes, and there's some ground state degeneracy, and we bring all of them close together, okay, not just pairs. So we've created, an effective spin chain. We have a new type of spin chain, but the spin chain is topological. It knows about something about the properties of the bulk that it came from. Okay, I should warn you that this part is a little bit half-baked. So this is my system. I have a long chain of these zero modes, and now they're all coupled together in some way. Okay, there's some general local Hamiltonian So I don't have very long-range hops of quasi-particles, but say nearest neighbors and maybe next nearest neighbors are all non-zero. Okay, so this is my Hamiltonian. Say this is a Hamiltonian of only nearest neighbors. And the question is, what are the properties of this kind of spin chain? Okay, it actually, how are the properties of the bulk reflected but in the properties of the spin chain? Okay, so it turns out that this Hamiltonian has some symmetries that tell you about the fact that these are really defects in a topologically ordered phase. For instance, the fluxes through all the vertical holes and all the horizontal holes is all conserved mod 2. Okay, so these are two symmetries of the spin chain. And there's another symmetry which is related to the fact that the fermion parity is actually conserved, and that's written like this. Now, these look like nice symmetries of a spin chain, two Z2 symmetries, but this symmetry looks really funny. It doesn't look like a product of local unitaries. Okay, so this is not the usual symmetry of a spin chain. So this is kind of, this symmetry is hard to work with. It turns out that if you do a non-local transformation, okay, which is basically Cramer's Wanye, you can get all of the symmetries into a local form, okay, both the fermion parity and the flux parity. The symmetry of the system is actually a dihedral group. Okay, it's D4. This particular Hamiltonian for nearest neighbors simply becomes an X, takes the form of an XY Hamiltonian, so it's actually solvable. Okay, so there's a critical point in two phases, which is kind of what you might expect. But the thing that we're still thinking about now, and we haven't figured out as of last night, is, so you have some effective spin chain with some symmetry group. So now you can ask, what gapped phases could this spin chain support? Okay, so it can support a host. So these are two possible phases, sort of the two dimerized phases. These are gapped phases. But there are other phases, like symmetry broken phases and SPT phases related to this emergent symmetry. Okay, and we're trying to understand how these what are the possible phases and how are they related to gapped possible edges of the bulk theory. Okay, so these are all recent directions. Okay, let me conclude and thank you for your attention.
Time for questions? So you mentioned in one of your earlier slides that you can't get parafermions from bosons and fermions in 1D. What did you mean by that precisely?
Right. So what I meant is that first of all, if you don't impose any special symmetries other than fermion parity, then the topological part of the protected part of the ground state degeneracy would not be different from that of Majorana's. So you would only get two per in a 1D system. And you won't get any non-abelian properties that are different from those of Majorana's.
But I guess I'm confused because if you take two edges of the fractional column Hall state, isn't that you can bosonize that, right? It's a
right. Yeah. Right. Theory, so yeah. So yeah. So the fact that it comes from the edge of a 2D topologically ordered bulk would reflect itself in the fact that it has an emergent Z3 symmetry. In the 1D system, that's not a local symmetry. It's a system. It's a symmetry that you can't break locally.
Okay.
So it's really you really get a topological degeneracy. It looks like it's coming from a broken symmetry if you bosonize the edge.
So you're saying if I have a 1D Luttinger liquid with the same compactification
symmetry,
radius.
Yeah. So I would get the same ground state degeneracy if I impose by hand the Z3 symmetry.
In the last slide, it looked like the spin chain Hamiltonian you got was pretty conventional looking.
Yes.
So the idea that the phases of that would map non-trivially in the original degrees of freedom?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what
but
we believe.
Phases,
yeah.
Those are kind of well understood, I guess.
They're understood, not by me, but yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So we think that they should just map to the gapped edges of the bulk. Right. But we haven't checked that yet.
Yeah, maybe you already said this, but could you say why the pure Ising anions give you something universal for quantum computation, but the bilayer for five halves does not?
Right. So it turns out that the statistical phase that you get, you follow the same argument through. Okay. So what you're supposed to get is the topological spin of the particle that these two defects fuse into. So in the case of the five halves, that's the one-quarter charge, and there's an extra phase that comes from the charge part, and that phase turns out to cancel exactly this pi over four. So that's the reason.
Just a quick follow-up. Does it work out any better in this like T-Fafian state?
I don't know.
The charge goes kind of the other way. Does it still cancel though?
I see.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I have a very unrelated question. What did you mean by the trialgebra?
Right. So it's a name we came up with in lack of a better name. So it's a relation between three operators. So I mean, for the parafermions, the defining relation of the group is would be the exchange of two operators. So it's a binary relation. Here you can't write that. So if you try to write the exchange relation of two of these zero modal of these physical operators, you actually get zero. The minimum you need to get a non-trivial phase is three. Okay.
Because trialgebra is normally used for another construction in mathematics.
Yeah.
Like when you have one multiplication, two co-multiplications, you call it a trialgebra.
I'll be happy
that's
to.
Not what you have, right?
No, Mark. I'll be happy to learn what right, it thanks. Properly means. Yeah.
This is really off the wall, but parafermions in two dimensions have close connection to n equals two supersymmetry in 1+1 dimensions. So. Does your system have any connection to that?
Right. So I think that the word parafermions is used in two different ways. So anyway, I guess that you're referring to the sort of to the CFT that has parafermions. So this is not quite what we have here. Okay. It's related. It has kind of the same algebra, but the connection runs further, but here I'm not talking about the CFT. These are just zero modes. It's a gap system. The connection, as I understand it, is that if you take these a chain of these zero modes and you kind of you couple them all together and tune it to the critical point, so there are two gapped phases, which are the dimeric phases. If you tune it to the critical point, you get the CFT, the Z3 CFT. Okay, and that would have the same properties.
So you were mentioning this emergent Z3 symmetry. So how can one see it from the microscopic model that you were writing?
Right. So it's basically just in this model you can understand it microscopically as coming from charge conservation. So if you think about if you think about one of these superconducting domains. Right, wherever it was, doesn't matter. Okay, so I mean, if you have a superconducting domain on the edge, that's like a superconducting island. Okay, so it has a charge, which is the charge on the edge is only well defined mod 2 because you can exchange Cooper pairs with a bulk superconductor. But now this charge can actually be fractional because you can absorb fractional charges at zero energy. So that charge is well-defined mod 2, but you can add to it 1/3 or 2/3. That's in the model I've talked about before. It's actually a Z6 symmetry. Okay, so it's M over 3 mod 2.
If no more questions, let's thank speaker again.